No, there it is.
Okay, now which
one? 1, 2, 3. If you want it louder, I can make it louder.
No, you're doing just fine. Okay. Just a minute. Okay, no. Tape. Okay, Jude, what? Say something.
Testing, 1, 2. How are you, Eugene? Eugene already knew. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, I see. The problem is. Okay, do you want to speak?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. The thing I sort of wanted to talk to or start on today was remembering, you said that you were a signalman in the Navy.
And also a gunfire controlman. I was in 2 different wars.
Oh, I see.
Tail end of World War II, mm-hmm. and then the Korean War.
So you went back, enlisted again when you were
up
here?
Yeah. Well, I got out when World War II was over, and then there weren't any jobs, and I wasn't ready for college or anything like that, so I went back in and took up another career in the Navy.
Oh, you went back in while there was no war right away?
Well,
you
we put a new ship into commission up in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and then went down on a shakedown run to Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out there was a cousin of a kid that I grew up with in Brooklyn who lived still in Bermuda.
Oh, yeah. That's nice place to have a friend.
My mother was from Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
I was a signalman, so I talked to the guy on the beach, and he got on a landline, you know, with a phone,
mm-hmm.
and he patched me through, and I was able to talk to them. And, well, can you come ashore? I said, I'm sorry, they just let one major petty officer from each ship to go buy souvenirs. And one of the quartermasters, which he was almost a chief, he was a first class petty officer, and he got to go ashore, and we gave him money and said, try and get me this, this, and this. And different people asked him for the same thing. And when he came back, he had quite a load.
Yeah.
Lots of boxes. They said, come back, come back.
So how long did you stay in that time? Because that was, were you married then?
Oh, no.
No, that was...
No, I met Norma when she was, she went to Hawaii to work in the hospital there, in the Manoa Valley. And,
was that in the Korean War then?
Yeah, there was. And of course, it was strange for some of the guys when we'd go back to San Diego or something like that, or other parts. They say, but she just waved goodbye to you on the dock, and then here a few days later, we're back on the West Coast, and
there she is again.
And there she is again, waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love her, and she likes me, and so you know.
So in the time after you left Brooklyn, you joined the Navy, and then you came back, and you re-enlisted.
Mm-hmm.
And was there an interim time between that and the Korean War, or I can't remember?
A little bit, yeah. There was relative peace for a while,
relative
and then
peace.
They started all over again.
Mm-hmm. And but what year was it when you re-enlisted? Because I can't remember the year of the Korean War.
Oh, gosh. Maybe the early 50s, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, well, of course, you came up here in 54.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. went to school.
52.
52, you came up here.
Okay. I was going out to Seattle. Mm-hmm. They took me that far. And I got on a plane and went out again. Just to see if we could make it, you know. Of course, my wife's parents didn't want to see us leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were only 50 miles away down there in Idaho. And they were just up the road towards Spokane. And it turned out for the best.
Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. I thought you started going to school right away. There were a few
problems. Just to see if it was possible to get a place to live. And as it turned out, there was, we were down on Spruicewood Road.
Uh-huh.
The guy across there, he had just finished his engineering thing. He was going, got a job down in Anchor, so he had a for sale sign on it. And he saw us working on this other guy's place. He was a guy that studied beaver. He was from back there where they... lots of beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Spednick Lake is his name. And he was putting in vertical poles every time he came in on the weekends or something. He would bring a bunch of poles in his truck. And he was putting vertical poles. And the guy right across the road there in Sprucewood came over with a couple of cold Pepsis and brought them over to us. And said, I said, I see the for sale sign on. He says, yeah, I'm finished with my engineering degree and my first job is in Anchorage, and so I got to sell the place. It was just a flat roof log cabin, but then we put an upstairs on it eventually and for Mark and Laurie to have for a bedroom, and it was just a kind of a narrow thing. And we finally got electricity, which was a quantum jump. Yeah.
And you went to school and you came out of school with your teacher?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had the wildlife degree and also...
Oh, you know what? That's why you kept mentioning there were no jellyfish. Hey, man, I
was territorial based.
Yeah.
We
were
just, you know, probably a couple of enforcement people and then the rest of them were biologists. And it's right over there on
across from Lamont's where the
U.S. fishing game is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that had an office up in the Eielson building.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of the head guy for the fishing game for this area.
Mm-hmm.
So it continued from there.
I see. So you got your degree in wildlife biology or wildlife management?
Yeah. But then, of course, there were no openings.
Oh,
so
yeah. So
I had enough education that I could teach science and that kind of thing. So that's how it developed there. First at Lathrop, and then when Lathrop was bulging at the seams with all the kids that were growing up here.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got Ryan, junior high.
How many years did you teach all together?
7 years, 11 months, and 21 days.
7 years? Only 7 years you taught?
No, wait a minute.
Must be more than that.
That's an error, yeah. Yeah, it was more than that. Between territorial and state
Yeah.
Line. Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
We'll say at least 6 years.
Yeah. And see. And was it a small school when you started, relatively?
Well, Lathrop was pretty big. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was the first high school after Old Main over here.
Uh-huh.
It became administration officers.
Oh, that happened during that time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
I had
a director for a while, too, and I had a little Honda motorcycle, and I could run film around to the different schools when they needed it. That kind of
thing. That was fun, yeah.
It was a joy.
Was Old Main still in extent as a school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was being used as a school, and now it's all administrative and superintendent and all that.
But by that time, it was eventually just an elementary school, primary, then elementary, and then...
Yeah, they had different areas, yeah.
And then later it was a high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, Ryan was delayed opening because at that time they were talking about putting in mooring masts for dirigibles.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they went to clear off where Mary Siapool is, flying, they ran right into something that they couldn't budge. You know, the cat backed off and hit it again and hit it again. And he says, we got to get a big cat in here and find out what's going on here and here with these big pylons, concrete.
When had they been? They've been put in for the dirigibles.
Yeah, just a little bit away from the Mary Siapool.
What was that put in for?
Because they figured they were going to have, remember the big dirigible that burned?
Yeah.
Hindenburg
right
there? That was because they didn't have the right fuel. We had cracked the code of how to get it so it was safe to use.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically air.
Yeah.
And, but the other ones, they were catching fire and crashing. You see, they keep repeating that. I guess it was back on, I think, 39 or 40, somewhere in there. The Hindenburg, everybody just panicked and had to jump out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them managed to catch some kind of a rope and it slowed them down, but they usually, you know, broke an ankle or something like that, or a leg. And a lot of people rushed out to help, and then they had to back off because of the flames.
So they had decided in Fairbanks they were going to have a dirigible landing area?
The plan was for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that must have been in some connection with the after the war or between wars?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a thing that they could use those because they were safe to use, you see, and maybe they could haul freight and bring passengers back and that kind of thing.
And then it just somehow didn't work
out? Just spritzed out, yeah.
But the pad was still there, no?
Yeah, it was
huge.
It looked like little pyramids, you know, with mooring masts going up out of them.
They're not there anymore, are they? No,
they buried them. They dug a deeper hole with a bigger cat and they buried them. And probably if you walked over there with a metal detector, you're going to beep, 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 beep.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, you're the first person that's mentioned that.
Well, it's part of the history. But as you grow older and you live longer, you begin to get some confusion in there, too. If you have time to settle down and really talk about it, you get it straight again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gee, that's really neat. So that was when they were building Ryan.
Yeah.
And they had
Were you here when they were building Lathrop?
No, Lathrop was already there.
It was already there. Mm-hmm.
When we came, it was not quite as big as it is now, but it is. And now they're redoing everything over there with styrofoam and all this other stuff. And then there's one area that won't have any windows at all. That's where the photo labs are. There's no need to have it.
No, there isn't. Did you enjoy teaching those many years?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had the one room I had at Ryan, I had a small photo lab, you know, and then Bob Spooner was right across the road from me, and he had the same thing back in his place. He had and larger and everything else, and he pretty quickly come up with prints and, you know, black and white stuff. It took a little longer with color, but now color is so common that everybody says, why did you do it in black and white?
Oh, I know, I know. But there's still a lot of beauty to black and white,
too.
Yes. I often think that when I'm painting, I think sometimes how I'd like to paint something in black and white. Just I did when I was a student, but I'd like to do it again just because sometimes it's fun.
Well, I had an old picture of my dad when he was the first sea cadet type of thing, you know, when he first went to sea. And he just had a great time, in other words. And he had gone away to sea, you know, that was considered just right for Norwegians and Scandinavians, you know, was to go out like the Vikings did. He claimed that my ancestry goes back to the second oar on the port side, the old Viking ships,
to
see where they rowed them, and then they sailed, of course, when they could get the wind going the right way. You know, it may be true, it may not be.
It doesn't matter, does it? But it's
makes
your
a
fun
good story.
It's a good story, and I think that that's really important. All that's important. I think most of our ancestral tales are sort of in that vein for all of us.
I always call them fairy tales. That's
right. But that's, I guess, that's part of life.
It's living history. You see.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Like your program.
My program, yes. I was just wondering how you felt as a teacher through the years, watching. Kids are later.
I kind of enjoyed it. You know, it was it's a living thing. You see.
Mm-hmm.
You can respond to it or respond from it, and that kind of thing. No, it's. I think it keeps you younger. You can't catch up to them sometimes. And then we had kids around town here that were finding old ammunition out on the base, and they put it in a vise in their shop and drive a pin through it, and some of them lost fingers, some of them had pieces of shrapnel in their face, and burns, you know, and that kind of thing. Just, you know. And the last year there was at the university out there before I got finally finished with my degree so I could get a teaching job. I was working in the old territorial police down there on Illinois Street, and in the evening it was 3 to 11, and I had all kinds of dull evenings, and time never stopped. You always had registrations for cars to file and things like that. Or some guy with a overload permit comes in and says, can I get a pass to go through town and get out the other side? And I'd write it out and all this other stuff. But first thing was the radio in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was just the one bridge down here.
Mm-hmm.
None
well,
of these other bridges. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
Invariably, they were on the wrong side of town. They had to go all the way out back way and come in on what's now University Avenue in those places.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they had a Hudson Terraplane
that
had electric shifting. It's a car.
Oh,
Hudson,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just little levers, you know, would shift the gears and just flip it. It was almost like automatic drive.
Mm-hmm.
It worked off the battery and off of other things. But, as I say, when they needed them, on the far side, say out toward the airport, they were always out on Illinois Street or College Road.
Yeah, I guess Miller Hill was really far out in those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, the farm was starting to grow out there.
Lawler's farm?
No, the university farm.
Oh, university farm, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's been there for a long time.
So when you decided to move off Sprucewood, and that land became available, or something? You know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I got that.
Yeah, well, we had gone out for graduate degrees and came back. We had to.
Where did you go for your graduate degree?
Well, it was New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
We went down kind of thinking we'd go someplace for the advanced degree, and then she wanted to get more work in special ed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked out real fine. Looking back, you know, it was at first and we came down off that Kaibab Plateau and down into the Phoenix area, and the kids were just gone. Wife was sweating, I was driving, and we thought we had the clear quill. I checked in down there, and they said, well, there's a new place just opening up, and the guy was actually putting the tables together in these little places, and it had a pool out there with lights, you know, and coconut-type trees, but not mm-hmm. coconut. And we thought, oh, this is going to be great. We can go in there and swim when the sun goes down. And we got in there a little bit away, like over to the Northwood building. Here was a cattle yard. And as soon as the sun went down, they got up and started meandering, and that dust just came falling in, and the lights were covered with bugs and
this is
and the smell. Yeah, right out of Tempe.
Oh, God.
It was a good place to get out of, really, but, you know, as I say, the guy was still setting up the tables and uncrating the chairs and everything
mm-hmm.
else to
mm-hmm.
put in there. It was more than we needed, and I took off to check out a couple of places, and, we made a good trip.
Mm-hmm. How long were you out?
Out in I took a year's leave, in other words,
mm-hmm.
sabbatical or whatever you want to call it, just to do other things and advance
mm-hmm.
my things for school, science and that kind of thing. Yeah.
You taught science all along.
Yeah.
Somebody was coming through here the other day, I don't remember what it was about or what connection. I think he was one of the workmen here.
Uh-huh.
Do you want another cigarette?
No,
he recognized your painting right away and said, oh, he taught me. Yeah.
A lot of these people that I run into, the young men and gals, I'm not always sure. I know the face, but boy, putting a name to it when you've seen that many go through your door.
It's an interesting way to keep track of what's happening in the area, sort of from a sociological as well as a historical point of view, is to see how the children do feel it. The kids are changed at all, and
mm-hmm.
they do. What ways?
Well, I think as they get older, they get smarter, for one thing. They say, you know, you were right when you took me out in the hall and chewed me up one side and down the other. He says,
mm-hmm.
I remembered that several times, and
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you did it.
Mm-hmm.
It made a better person out of
mm-hmm.
himself. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, kids are wonderful. They're the key to the future.
Oh, that's so true. I think that's
some of them are going to stumble, you know, and get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, when you think of some of the, no names, but you know, some of the doctors here in town over there, you know, medical dentalites and all that, they don't really know what they're doing sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that's true.
They take the money, and of course,
mm-hmm.
they see a teacher who has retired. Has all the benefits, you see,
mm-hmm.
for of getting that kind of treatment. But we'll leave the names out.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's always a good idea. I'll leave that with it. I mean, I never put anything in there.
We don't need living history that somebody might want to say,
don't.
Well, they're lying or
mm-hmm.
they don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I just wonder sort of how the long winters and then bringing your children up here and. To getting to know your neighbors and how you felt as the years went by.
Well, of course, my wife's folks just thought it was the worst thing we could do, taking those kids away, because we were just 40 miles away from their place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I finally talked them into coming up in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and it was one night I was coming home from the territorial police, and there was Aurora going on, and I got out and went into that little cabin that
mm-hmm.
I just told you about before. And I said, Grandpa, do you want to see the Northern Lights? Oh, yes, please. And he just pulled the quilt over and walked out. He had his long johns on, stepped out on the porch barefooted. It wasn't too cold then. And he says, oh, I didn't want to miss that. We get it down here, but it's very faint.
Very faint.
Mm-hmm. And, but he says, oh, thank goodness I got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did your kids like growing up here? They felt. Especially if they had been outside.
Because we traveled a lot with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My son was born in Honolulu. My daughter was born in Moscow, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife worked in both the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, it's a good life.
If you, this is sort of a silly question, but anyway, would you have changed anything in your life very much?
Well, that's an impossibility, really.
Yeah.
You can think that you should have done something differently, but over a span of time, I think you say, well, it leveled out, it came out even.
Yeah, I think that's very true for most of us, when you can get a perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that living here helped you grow as an individual more than, say, living somewhere else because of the difficulties involved?
Yeah. Like the first original cabin, we just had it on pilings because we had come back from outside. Just said, well, if we can't make it, we can always move in the Fairview Manor. And boy, that made us move twice as fast.
Oh, Fairview Manor was there then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they were building even more, but now that's all Lamont's and all that in there.
Oh, there was some Fairview Manor
there?
Yeah,
there was all kinds of footings in there and plywood over them to keep people from falling in, you know, the excavation and all that. Big chunks of cement that got thrown off the truck into the basement. Not the basement, but they didn't have any basements in them. And they would put these big things up, but then finally that just became what is now Lamont's and Gavar number. Two, I guess it is.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
In that whole parking area.
Well, at least I'm glad it's not another Fairview Manor.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Although that's housing for some people. That's home for some people, and I don't.
Something that they can afford, or lots of times I think because people came up and didn't have the money to get back out again, they had to give them some grants to, to at least put them in there for a while until they could get on their feet, or maybe the man left because he didn't like it up here. And, mother was stuck with kids.
That's true. Do you see a significant difference in the quality of people pre- and post-pipeline? Or quality of living?
No, I don't think so. But you see, the pipeliners were in and out. Mm-hmm. Not too many of them stayed here. And so it was a thing that had to be done. And in hindsight, I don't think we really needed it, but the government thought it was a good idea. They wanted to keep people working, which helps in a town like this. When the good times are here, then it's a good place for construction. And when it isn't, those guys are the first ones to leave.
That's true.
They sell everything out, jump on the first plane, and maybe write a bad check to get on the plane. And they got to catch them in Seattle or Portland or Minnesota.
It doesn't matter from there.
They've absconded.
But I was thinking back of times, of course, when it was much smaller, and certainly you know it is much smaller times than even I do, you know, and wondering if you felt any nostalgia, or just from your point of view, how do you feel about change?
Change is the only constant it has to be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just set in mud or sand or rock or bricks. Change is the only constant. That's a. You should put that up on your wall.
It's up on this one.
In the cranial cavity.
It is. I store a lot of.
Science teachers.
Well, I think you were probably a great science teacher. I mean, I remember once subbing at Ryan, you know, when I came in, and I was so relieved to see you. I mean, because I was
a face you know.
That's right. And when I look at a classroom of 20 to 30 kids, I feel quite panicked. I mean, I'm just not probably cut out for teaching, but I remember.
Well, I think you'd make a good teacher, but again, Rose Lawson, who was the very strict, but knew how to handle kids and get the best out of them, whether they were painting or drawing or making clay pots or you know, all that stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Well, why don't we leave it for today?
Okay.
I'm really pleased with what we got.
Shut it off, rewind it, and let's see if we...